Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a moment, we'll be talking with one of my favorite leaders, authors. But first this, later in the show, we're going to talk about the challenge of media in this age of technology and new media. I'll give you an example. ESPN Magazine. There is a website, newspaperdeathwatch.com. They keep track of the decline in newspaper and magazine circulation and major daily newspapers going under. Well, they found an offer, a promotional offer for ESPN Magazine for 26 issues for $2. $2. They took it. When it expired, they began getting Golf Magazine every month for the same $2. When that expired, they began getting Sports Illustrated every week. So for $2, and these publishers are allowed by the new rules of the new economy to tell their advertisers that these are paid subscriptions. And so there's a desperation in the world of marketing, media, reaching the public. And here at Bob Enyart Live, we're in the mix of all that, of course, on the radio and on the internet at kgovkgov.com, trying to reach as many people as we can. So today should be interesting, though, because the banquet is in 3 days, Saturday night, Colorado Right to Life's annual banquet with, as we've said now dozens of times on the air, with Tom Tancredo, Alan Keyes, and Kevin Swanson. And what an honor right now to welcome to the radio program Kevin Swanson. Welcome, Kevin. How are you?
Thanks, Bob. It's great to be back with you again.
Oh, it's so good to have you on the show. You are the pastor of Reformation Church.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin, you're the author of The Second Mayflower. You're a homeschool leader, not only in Colorado, but you've spoken around the country, turning the hearts of parents back toward their children. So let's talk through why you've agreed to be at the banquet Saturday night, and we'll take it from there.
Well, Bob, it started in 1983. I walk into a college classroom, and a coalition of American pro-life university students are playing a video called The Silent Scream. You remember the video?
I sure do. We aired it on Bob Enyart Live in 80 cities back in the 90s.
Yeah. It was a documentary of a abortion being performed under ultrasound, and of course Bernard Nathanson was the narrator for the documentary, and that turned me around. It got me involved in the pro-life issue, and then the rest is history. I ran for governor in 1994, U.S. Senate in 1998 against pro-abort candidates on the Republican and the Democrat sides of the aisle.
And I remember that's been
a significant issue for me.
Yeah, I remember those times when you've run, and I remember that we supported you. You were the candidate who says, I will not support the killing of a single innocent child. And that's why you earned our support. Hey, back to that video, The Silent Scream. Not everyone in the audience is aware of that. Dr. Bernard Nathanson had performed thousands of abortions in New York City.
Huh.
He became a pro-lifer when he softened his heart toward God and recognized that he was killing children in the womb. And he is the one who fabricated, he made up a statistic, he fabricated it when he was an abortionist, and the media ran with it, and that was that there were about 10,000 women a year killed from back alley abortions. He just fabricated that. He made it up, and it's been repeated as gospel for decades since then. And that video, while performing an abortion, they kept the ultrasound on, and you see the baby desperately trying to get away from the suction tube. His heartbeat goes up to about 300 beats per minute. He's literally desperately trying to get away, and that suction tube at Planned Parenthood, which they've done millions of times, grabs the baby's leg and literally rips the baby's leg off his body. And you as a Christian, me as a Christian, millions of others have seen that and said, they're killing babies.
Yeah. And Bob, you know, the truth has to get out somehow. And I think that documentary was one of the major ways we learned the truth in the 1980s as to what abortion did. There's no mystery anymore about it. That child's a person. That child feels pain. That child is being murdered in its mother's womb by the millions upon millions in this country. And you know, we just wanted to get involved. We wanted to say, hey, it's time to stop hating kids and killing kids. Let's stand up for God's law in this area.
Yeah, it really has been a war against children. In Europe, for example, Europe, according to the United Nations of all sources, they have a demographic crisis. After decades of turning people's hearts against children, so that if you have two children, you're married. If you have a second child, people look down on you, but they praise you if you abort your child.
Yeah.
So after all this time of this war against children, including in China, where they have a deficit, where there's millions of young Chinese men who don't have women to marry because they've been aborting women, far outpacing the abortions of boys.
Yes.
And so when you reject God, when you rebel against God, the consequences are devastating and often not obvious at the beginning.
You know, Bob, this is the greatest demographic shift in the history of the world, even greater, or at least almost as great as the worldwide flood, at least in terms of numbers. Wow. We have 80 countries birth imploding around the world since the 1960s, when, of course, you had the legalization of abortion, but also the manufacture of the birth control pill, which, of course, as you know, is an abortifacient. And you got to throw in the day after pill and so forth. And if you add all these things up, you know there's far, far more than 50 million dead babies in this country. It's got to be in excess of 80 million, maybe 100 million dead babies since the year 1960 when that abortifacient birth control pill was first manufactured.
Yeah, that is exactly true. What is happening is while some in the pro-life, I call it the pro-life industry, while they celebrate, they say, look, we've reduced abortion from 1.5 million to 1.2 million babies
surgically
killed. That's not true. The actual number of children killed has increased. And yes, people need fewer surgical abortions because they're chemically killing these children. And it's crucial that we bring to the public the truth that when this pill is going to kill a baby, people need to know that. That needs to be outlawed. And right now, there are some people who are deceived, not realizing they take, for example, the morning after pill, or they use the IUD, and they don't realize that they're killing babies, and they will meet these children in the afterlife. They will meet them when we go to see the Lord.
And Bob, there's been doctors in India that have done sections on uteruses of women who've had hysterectomies who were on the birth control pill, and they have literally found these wombs to have been graveyards. They have little fetuses are still attached to the inside of that uterus. It's just a gross thing when you realize that the uterus, the womb, is becoming a tomb for perhaps hundreds of millions of babies around the world thanks to that that abortifacient birth control pill.
Well, and Kevin, we also have, because of oral contraceptives, and they call them contraceptives. Now, that's supposed to be something that would prevent conception, but in reality, many of these are abortifacients.
Yes, they
take effect after the baby is conceived, the little boy or a girl. Then they kill the baby. Well, according to the National Cancer Institute, not only has their lead researcher, one of their lead researchers, now acknowledged that abortion is a major risk factor for breast cancer, but also in the same report, they've indicated that taking an oral contraceptive dramatically increases the risk of triple negative breast cancer. It's called TNBC, and it is the most aggressive and least treatable form of breast cancer. So as Christians have been warning the public for decades now, it is very dangerous when you interfere with the design that God gave us for the human body.
You know, Bob, I don't have the firm numbers on the morning after pill either, but some London reports have indicated that it's up. The use of it is up some 7 to 10 times over the last, say, 6 or 7 years. So this is certainly becoming the preferred method of aborting children, and you know, it's looking like the surgical abortions are down in the country, but the bottom line is we still have the same selfish, self-centered, existentialistic, narcissistic age where people are willing to destroy children any way they possibly can. The most convenient way is usually the way they want to go at it. But we still have that sentiment across these Western nations. And I think we're subject to the judgment of God. God knows who these dead babies are. He knows them by name.
And we're speaking with Kevin Swanson, pastor of Reformation Church, who will be there as part of the program Saturday night at Colorado Right to Life's banquet. Kevin, I had the owner of a local Dairy Queen call me up off the air and say, Bob, I can't say this on the air, but of course we get a lot of teenage girls in our store. We're right near a public school, and it's impossible to not overhear their conversation. And these girls talk about the morning after pill. They get it on the internet for just a few dollars a pill, and they pop them like candy.
Oh, boy.
And so not only is that, of course, the killing of an innocent child, but it's also helping to further destroy the young woman who is taking this, because it further breaks down her boundaries and entices her into the world of sexual immorality.
And something I brought up a number of times in recent speeches is what happens when the baby boom generation that aborted 80 million of their own children over the previous 40 years, when you got 80 million of these baby boomers retiring over the next 19 years, what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen. We're going to see euthanasia like you have never seen in your life.
Well, euthanasia is coming. Mike Rosen just had Duty to Die, Dick Lamb, on his show a few weeks ago. I got to challenge him on suicide and euthanasia. But, yeah, these guys are smiling and advocating euthanasia as a wonderful thing. And in reality, what happens in America, the more we kill children, the headlines just yesterday are that there is one Social Security recipient for every 1.75 full-time private sector workers in America. So if there are two people at work where you go to work, if there are two full-time workers, they're supporting between them a Social Security recipient, and that's getting worse. Socialism doesn't work. When you kill the innocent systematically, God says the whole society, the culture, the government is responsible. Guilt flows over the land.
Bob, I'll tell you what's happening right now is the unraveling of an entire socioeconomic system. We're breaking down economically. We're breaking down socially, largely because we're breaking down economically and socially at the same time. So, you know, we're looking at the unraveling of a postmodern materialistic culture. These gods are coming down. But we as Christians need to place value on human life first and foremost, value on our father-son, parent-child relationships. If we don't reassess these priorities and form godly families on these mm-hmm. values, we're not going to have a civilization in the years to come.
Well, this is absolutely true. And so we have millions of Christians who call themselves conservatives, even go to Bible church. And Kevin, it seems like to me that they get addicted, let's say through Fox News, to the political process as though it were a soap opera, the addiction as though it were maybe the Super Bowl or the NBA playoffs. And from my perspective, the Democratic politicians and the Republican politicians are destroying the family. They're destroying the nation. They destroy children. And I don't want to help a Republican destroy this country any more than I want to help a Democrat destroy this country. I want to teach the Republicans and the Democrats that they need to humble themselves before God, honor him and his enduring command, do not kill the innocent, do not murder.
Well, that's where it begins. That's where it begins. And Bob, I'll tell you what, it's going to begin at home as well. You're not going to salvage the nation with a hockey mom from Alaska who's got another kid with another kid born out of wedlock. And by the way, also as governor, she went ahead and approved some court justices who were pro-abortion, so no principle there. No principle. You know, just what we're seeing is flaky lives, flaky families, flaky policies, flaky principles. When they get into office, the foundations are destroyed. What do the righteous do? I always say concrete. Let's get some concrete. Let's rebuild foundations, and that means rebuilding family relationships at the very basic level, and then start you know, establishing godly churches, godly communities, and let's go find the most principled people we can find to run for political office.
Yeah, to support them. And, for example, with you mentioned Sarah Palin from Alaska. As the governor, one of her final official acts was to nominate to the Alaska Supreme Court Morgan Christen, who was a Planned Parenthood board member. Unrepentant. And not only did Sarah Palin do that, she praised her. She said her wisdom and her experience will make her a tremendous judge for the state of Alaska. So what we've done by turning a blind eye to the wickedness of our own supposed candidates, we are helping to destroy those candidates as though we don't care about Sarah Palin's soul. If you don't care about her soul and you only want to use her as some political pawn, well, then you praise her when she promotes child killing. You praise her. If you love her and you love your neighbor and your nation, you will confront especially the people who name the name of Jesus Christ.
Bob, what it indicates is a lack of integrity in the populace, a lack of integrity in our voting patterns, a lack of integrity in our candidates, a lack of integrity in our parent-child relationships, a lack of integrity in our fornication rates. Lack of integrity is everywhere, and I think we've got to turn back to God and start repenting of our sins and building godly families, discipling our children in the principles of God's Word as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. And I think fundamentally it begins, Bob, exactly where you began the interview. We've got to love these kids. We've got to love our own children. Stop murdering them and love them enough to disciple them in the home and teach them about Jesus so they'll go to heaven someday. Mm. That's my basic message.
And, Kevin, your ministry, Generations, could you tell us a bit about that and how to find you on the web, Generations with Vision?
Right. It's generationswithvision.com, but our goal is to raise up fathers and mothers to love their children, to have children, first of all, and then to disciple their children in God's Word as they walk by the way, as they rise up and lie down. We especially want to encourage fathers to reengage. Fathers are disengaged from the home. They're disengaged in their economics. They're disengaged in the education of their children. They're disengaged in the discipleship of their children. We feel like if fathers get reinvolved and we rebuild our families on strong fatherhood, and fathers teaching their children in the home and discipling their families, we think that's so fundamental that we're going to see a massive turnaround in a lot of areas of life, whether it be the church or the state or what have you.
The three primary emphases that we bring here at Bob Benyert Live to our audience is God as our creator and God as the lawgiver who said, do not murder, do not kill the innocent, and God as the one who instituted marriage. God created us. Jesus said in the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. So these are the fundamentals: creation, personhood, morality on which you can build a solid family, and of course, also a solid church. And Kevin, these are the very areas that we expect a godless culture to undermine our understanding of these principles. But it's tragic when conservative ministry, so-called, or when so-called pro-life politicians undermine these basic principles. And that's happening all the time.
Bob, it started in the church, I think, as you mentioned. It's a turning away from the law of God, the separation of grace and law, as if law is not important. Obviously, law instructs us where we broke the law. We got turned back to Christ, who died on the cross because we broke his law. But he also died on the cross so that we would start keeping his law and be sanctified by his grace, and we begin to walk in his ways. And his ways are defined for us by the law of God in the Old and New Testament. The walking away from a biblical ethical construct was terrible, and I think it undermined American Christianity. And now, of course, we have to deal with the post-Christian age because we walked away from a biblical ethic.
Well, Kevin Swanson, let me tell you what I heard today on the Michael Gallagher show. Now, Michael Gallagher he's marketed as a conservative, Republican, Christian, pro-life, pro-family guy. And he was defending Rick Perry, the Texas governor who wants to be the Republican nominee for president. And they were talking about the HPV sexually transmitted disease, human papilloma virus. And Rick Perry ignored the legislature. He took it upon himself, issued an executive order to make Gardasil, which is a vaccine for HPV, to make that mandatory for 12-year-old girls statewide in Texas. Of course, with every vaccine, there's an opt-out. But he did this on his own. He usurped that authority to do such a thing. And it's a way of saying to parents, we expect that your 12-year-old girl is going to fornicate, that she's going to sleep around. So we are mandating a vaccination statewide for all these young girls. Of course, you could opt out, and then you look like a freak, you know, in your neighborhood or at your local physician's office, where the pressure on you is overwhelming to go along with the government mandated vaccines. But here's Mike Gallagher saying, I have no idea what the problem was. What is the big deal that Rick Perry did this? And he went on and on saying he couldn't see anything wrong with it.
Well, it's a socialist approach to solving the problems. And as you well know, it doesn't solve problems. I can remember a student body president of a major West Coast university. They wanted to put condom machines in all the restrooms. And I vetoed the Senate proposition to do that. Walked into the president's office. He said he's going to go ahead and go with my decision. So that public university didn't use the condoms or the prophylactics as a solution to deal with the massive problem with sexuality on the campus.
Because of the voice and the conviction of one man.
Yes. It's amazing how one person could direct the whole thing. And that's effectively what happened. They tried to override my veto and were unable to do it by one vote. So a little history on Kevin Swanson. When I was an activist in my university back in California in the 1980s.
Yeah, well, good for you, Kevin. So you're part of the program Saturday night. This is Colorado Right to Life. This banquet, Lord willing, with God's blessing, we will be launching round 3 of Personhood in Colorado, and this has ignited a vision around the country by pro-life activists to return to God's word as our authority, not just Republican political analysts and consultants. Return to God's word, trust him, do what's right, and pursue the victory from the foundation of Scripture.
Yes, get behind personhood. We're not going to quit on this, are we, Bob?
We are not going to quit, Kevin Swanson. God bless you. I can't wait to see you, Kevin.
Thank you. God bless you, Bob.
What an honor to have Kevin Swanson on the program. And Kevin is a longtime Christian leader in Colorado. For many years, he was the president of CHECK, the Christian Home Educators of Colorado. Colorado has a vibrant homeschool community, and especially strong among Christian families. And Kevin Swanson had a significant role in growing homeschooling in Colorado. And because of that, he's known around the country as a Christian leader. So praise God for Kevin and the fact that he's going to be there. Alan Keyes, Tom Tancredo, as Leslie Hanks has said, how do you get stronger truth tellers in this day of lies and deception in the public realm and in the media? How do you get 3 stronger truth tellers than Alan Keyes, Tom Tancredo, and Kevin Swanson? They have guts. And Colorado Right to Life they've been blazing a trail that has been very difficult, but the rewards are eternal. And even in this life, even in the last 5 years, we have begun to see such significant results. So much so that the debate has changed in the pro-life movement about how to stop the killing of unborn children. Now, we pray that Jim Daly and Focus on the Family, that they catch on to personhood, because they're in the news again today because they're talking with Planned Parenthood and other pro-abortion organizations, and they're looking for common ground. And as Jim Daly said on his radio show, we've got 1.2 million abortions a year in America. Really, as Kevin Swanson just pointed out, the number is far higher than that, because for some reason, Christian and the pro-life industry They don't take into account the children burned to death or expelled through chemical abortions or killed through the IUD. They just don't take those into account, which I don't understand. They're taken into account online at theexceptionscalculator.com. But Jim Daly, he's in the news the last couple days that his plan that he announced some months back, they are pursuing it, talking with the abortion industry, talking with Planned Parenthood and other pro-abortion organizations to find common ground. And he said on the radio, we want to, you know, at least we want to reduce the number of abortions by maybe 20,000 a year or 30,000 a year or maybe 300,000 a year. And you know what? Planned Parenthood, that's one of their claims. One of their claims is they fight to reduce the number of abortions. If we were in Germany and they're slaughtering the Jews, we could say, you know, we want to reduce the number of Jewish children gassed every day in our country. We want to reduce the number. You can't gas Jewish children who are under the age of 6 months. You can't do that. Over the age of six, the further from birth you get, the more acceptable, I guess it is, or something. When you lose sight of the vision, that means you've lost sight of God. Because in God, we are more than conquerors. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. So when you stand up for what is right, what do we say? We want fewer child pornography books published. We want to reduce the number of child porn books that are published. The ACLU, if you remember my debate with the executive director of the ACLU in Colorado on a local public TV station, in fact, we have it. It's one of our DVDs. You could get it for $25. It'll go toward our telethon. We're trying to raise $20,000, and we've been talking about our DVDs. One of them is the ACLU debate exposing the godless left, where Colorado's executive director admitted, I mean, it was like pulling teeth, but he admitted on television, we got it on the DVD, that their policy is they advocate the distribution and sale of child pornography, that it be legal. That's their policy. Now they say, we don't advocate producing the child pornography. Of course, unless the child is digitized, or unless it's a digital animation of a real-looking child, then they're all for that being legal. But they say, but we support the right to distribute and sell child porn. That's the battle we're in. God bless you guys.